From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is... Wait, don't tell me. The NPR News Quiz. That's me in your ear. You're getting a wet belly.
What?
I'm Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Great to be back with you. We have a great show for you today. Joining us later will be Charlie Day, star and one of the creators of the long-running sitcom It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Now, that is a show that thankfully has nothing to do with current events. It's just about a group of awful people with no conscience or morals who keep doing terrible things and always get away with it. Nothing to do with the news at all. We want you to get what you deserve, though, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Thomas from Naples, Florida.
Naples, Florida, beautiful down there. What do you do there?
I'm a chef at a high-end retirement community.
Are you really?
I am, yeah.
All right, what sort of amazing things do you make for the 5 p.m. dinner?
Mashed potatoes.
Anything they want.
Anything they want. Do you get any weird requests?
We always joke. We have gazpacho on the menu. It's a chilled soup. We always joke one day we're going to get a ticket where somebody's going to request that it's a warm soup.
Yes.
So
they're going to send back the gazpacho because it's cold.
It's cold. Exactly.
And when that happens, that will be, just so you know, my mother.
Can't wait.
Me introduce you to our panel this week, Thomas. First, a comedian appearing at the Pabst Brewery in Milwaukee, November 22nd to 23rd. It's Adam Burke. Hello.
Hey, Adam.
Next, the host of the podcast, Fake the Nation, and you can see her in Still Asking For It at Joe's Pub in New York City, October 5th and 6th, Nagin Farsad. And a humorist and author most recently of Save Room for Pie, it's Roy Blunt Jr. So Thomas, as you probably guessed, you're going to play Who's Bill this time, your job, of course. Listen, as Bill recreates for you three voices from the week's news, your job, explain or identify two of them. Do that, you win our prize, the voice of anyone you might choose on your show. Are you ready to play?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Here's your first quote.
I don't know if I'm the most innocent person in the world.
That was somebody who we found out this week is quite far from being the most innocent person in the world. Who is it?
Is it Donald Trump?
It is Donald Trump. Oh. You figured it out, Thomas.
Yay.
What a fun, full week for Donald Trump it was. He signed a treaty. He said the Nobel Prizes were rigged against him. He got to sleep in his race car bed back at Trump Tower. And oh yeah, he ordered the release of a document proving an impeachable offense. Who says he doesn't work hard? So, a whistleblower accused the president of trying to blackmail the president of Ukraine into doing a bogus investigation of Joe Biden. So the president said he would release a rough transcript of their call, which we all assumed would just be a sheet of paper with the words, "You are best president, Mr. Trump." But no! They actually released what seems to be the real thing, and it shows the president doing exactly what he is accused of. And he said, there, it exonerates me.
What I love is that he doesn't know how to respond to the accusations of quid pro quo because he thinks it's like a seafood dish. He just has no idea.
Yeah,
what is everyone talking about? I don't eat fish.
Squid. He likes squid.
Now, finally, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, announced on Tuesday that she would support impeachment hearings. But if you saw it, her remarks were like weirdly halted and awkward for such a momentous occasion. And it turns out, and this is true, that she had written out a speech in advance, but then she left it on a plane. That's all true. So she had to like improvise remarks and maybe didn't do a great job. Even worse, think of the poor insurance exec who grabbed the wrong piece of paper and just impeached his boss.
But you know what was really nice about Nancy during that speech was that her skin was glowing.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, she should impeach people more often because it works for her.
It really does. Yeah.
That's the scent she's wearing. It's called impeachment.
Anyway, Thomas. Let's move on.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Thomas, here's your next quote. It's from a 16-year-old girl speaking at the UN.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean.
Her name is Greta Thunberg, and she is really mad about what?
The planet getting warmer, climate change.
Exactly right. Thunberg has become a leading global climate activist. She spoke at the UN this week, and she told the UN that she shouldn't have to be fighting climate change. She should be allowed to be just a regular teenager. Why would she want that? Mm-hmm. You think being bullied by the fossil fuel industry is bad? Try the popular girls. And the climate change deniers really went after her. It was remarkable to watch. They said she was just doing her parents' bidding, which is news to anybody with a teenager. Yes, I will convince my 16-year-old daughter to make herself the face of an international movement right after I get her to tell me where she's going Friday night.
You're going to wear that to the UN?
But my money's on her. I think that she and Bill Belichick should have a glare off.
Oh, man. there was an amazing little sort of couple of seconds of tape because President Trump happened to walk by her and just her look on her face. They should create a phone app. That whenever you do something irresponsible, like idle your engine, her face appears staring at you that way. Greta came to the U.S. on a solar-powered sailboat across the Atlantic so as to lessen her carbon footprint. And that's why the Republicans were so upset. We thought she was one of us. She took a yacht here.
But you know who gave her an electric car, though?
Who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger gave her an electric car?
Yeah, he gave her an electric car so she could drive up to Canada to do whatever things you do in Canada. And in so doing, she kind of made him seem cool. Like, I didn't know he had an electric car that he could lend to Greta Thunberg.
What's crazy is he threw it at her.
Yeah. All right, Thomas, here is your last quote.
Don't use Juul.
That was a warning about Juul, J-U-U-L. That's the company that makes very popular vape pens. The warning comes from the CEO of what company?
Juul?
Yes! Very good. We're in the middle of a vaping crisis. There are apparently two kinds of teenagers, ones who admit they vape and ones who don't answer the question because they're vaping. So now we have a backlash to all this vaping because of reports of serious illnesses. Some states have banned e-cigarettes, and Walmart has said that they will stop selling them in all of their stores. So, sadly, kids shopping at Walmart will have to settle for actual cigarettes. And in the midst of this, the CEO of Juul, that's the biggest vape company, stepped down. He'll be replaced by an interim CEO, a 14-year-old wearing a backwards ball cap. So there are some reforms being made. Juul and other companies say they won't offer any more flavors that kids like, such as cherry and mango and a distant father's love.
Doesn't this happen with like every new technology? Like, I'm sure in like the 1870s there was like a rash of terrible bike accidents, and like we must keep our children away from the devil bicycle.
It's probably true, yeah.
How do you think crack would have caught on if it had mango flavor?
Wait, crack isn't really mango flavored?
You've been making it wrong.
Oh, yeah. It's my mother's recipe. That's the weird thing.
Bill, how did Thomas do in our quiz?
Got us off to a good start. He got them all right.
Congratulations, Thomas. Thanks so much for playing. Take care, Thomas.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roy, Japan Airlines has introduced a new service for their passengers. You can pick a seat that is what?
Dry.
It would be terrifying if that were an option. No, I'll give you a hint. All the right. Trick as you pick your seat is to be both far away and upwind from the diaper.
Not too close to a small child.
That's exactly right. So you can pick a seat far away from babies. So when you go to your check-in on your Japan Airlines flight and you go to the seat map, look for the little happy baby icon on the seats. which indicates the presence of a little miserable baby.
And don't sit on that one.
How do you guys feel about sitting on planes next to babies?
As a lady who just birthed one of those,
yes.
My baby, I'm not trying to brag, but like, she's pretty dope. Like, she's like pretty chill on a plane.
And how old is she now? 14?
She's like close. She's 9 months.
Yeah.
I will say though that we had a pooping incident that was epic. But this is what happened. The baby, everything's great. The baby doesn't cry. The baby doesn't do anything for 5 hours. And traveling with a dog. Dog and baby.
Oh, my God.
Pomeranian, furry little guy. And the at the end of the trip, okay, 20 minutes left to landing, the plane has some turbulence, which makes the baby nauseous. Baby vomits, projectile vomits all over everybody. But the person who gets it the most is the dog. The dog then goes into the aisle and does what dogs do, and he shakes it out, getting vomit over 40 additional people. The plane screams like bloody murder, and anyways, we laughed and laughed.
I'm just trying to imagine what the little icon is for that.
Oh, it's Spirit Airlines.
Exactly. Coming up, we turn to the dog whistleblower in our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait Wait Don't Tell Me from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Capital One. With the Capital One Saver card, you can earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. That means 4% on milkshakes with the kids and 4% on music with your pals. You'll also earn 2% cash back at grocery stores and 1% on all other purchases. Now when you go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply.
You know Jonathan Van Ness as a fabulous cast member of Netflix's Queer Eye. But as a kid,
I was basically just like a geode-obsessed, stamp-collecting, rock-collecting, obsessed with gymnastics.
Jonathan Van Ness on his transformation and his new book. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Roy Blunt Jr., Nagin Farsad, and Anna Burke. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Kyle Shattuck from White Plains, New York.
Hey, Kyle, how are things in White Plains?
Great.
That's in Westchester, right?
Westchester, 33 miles from the city.
You work in the city, so that's why you've measured it?
No, I just left the city. I actually moved to White Plains recently.
That's great. Do you like the lawns and the houses and the trees and the growing sense of unease and angst? And I'm sorry, I'm getting into my own childhood. Never mind. Well, welcome to the show, Kyle. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what's Kyle's topic?
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but apparently they are full of crap. We heard a story this week about dogs learning an amazing new trick. Each of our panelists are going to tell you about a new canine skill. Pick the one who's telling the truth. You'll win our prize, the waiter of your choice, on your voicemail. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. First, let's hear from Adam Burke.
Man's best friend, a euphemism for dogs that's antiquated in both its androcentrism and the notion that these days humanity's closest companion is anything other than a 7-inch rectangle of glass and plastic that's probably selling your conversations to the Russians. But Willard McKenzie, an ex-military dog trainer from Toronto, Ontario, wants to change that. I notice that my two teenage sons are always glued to their smartphones, he explained, neglecting not only my husband and me, but the pets. So Mackenzie enlisted the family Labrador, Poncho, to rectify the situation. It took about 3 weeks to teach her, but basically, if either of my kids is on their device for more than 15 minutes, Poncho will leap up,
grab it out of their hands, and hide it someplace. Once Mackenzie's friends got wind of Poncho's anti-device antics, they begged him to teach their dogs the trick. Eventually, demand was so high, Mackenzie made a business of it. People think that size might be a factor, he explained, but I've seen a Jack Russell snag a Samsung from a sophomore at 20 paces. While some dogs have been trained to go so far as to bury phones in the yard after repeat infractions, Mackenzie notes that there are limits to their policing abilities. I try to get Poncho to bite my ankle if I shop online after a couple of glasses of wine, he said, but she likes me too much.
Dogs trained to knock your damn phones out of your hands so you can pay attention to them. Next up, your story of an old dog with new tricks comes from Nagin Farsad.
New York is known for its fast-paced skyscrapers and the faint smell of urine. It's a city where you can find a person from every country speaking every language. And now you can even find Yiddish language lessons for your dog. That's right. Central Park is home to a regular program where dogs can learn Yiddish. It can get really tedious saying sit and stay in like boring old English. Oy vey. It's time to get your dog to put his tuchus down in another language. Trainer Miguel Rodriguez, one of your typical Latino goyim who teaches Yiddish specifically to dogs, says, with Yiddish, I find that the words are pretty sharp, so dogs really get the tones of the words very well. The words really are sharp. Like when you say to your dog, hey, what you're doing is fakakta, they immediately realize what schlemiels they've been and turn their schnozzles down in quiet obedience. But sometimes you tell a dog to sit, and instead of sitting, the dog says, sit, why would I sit? I'm happy to stand.
A class to teach your dog Yiddish. Your last story of dog training in the modern world comes from Roy Blunt.
I have thrown balls for dogs since I was a boy, says Jarvis Donahue of the Oklahoma Center for Energy Innovation. And my Lord, those dogs generate energy. Clean energy. Happy energy. Now Donahue is all about harnessing that energy. His system involves an electronically simulated ball-tossing boy and a generator belt worn by the dog. A poodle and a border collie, frankly, weren't taken in by the simulated ball. But an eager participant named Bobobby has proved that a two-year-old yellow lab, over five solid hours, can recharge 24 rundown laptops. You just have to slip in a real ball at the end, says Donahue. You don't want to break Bobobby's heart.
All right. Dogs are doing something that dogs have not done before. Is it, from Adam Burke, are they being trained to knock your phone out of your hand so you can pay attention to the world? From Nagin Farsad, are they being taught Yiddish in New York City? Or from Roy Blunt Jr., are they being taught to generate electricity by running after an electronic ball?
I'll have to go with Nagin with the Yiddish language.
You're going to go with Nagin with the dogs speaking Yiddish. All right, well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to someone who's actually involved in this new kind of dog training.
We invite people to come to Central Park to teach their hunt commands in Yiddish.
That was Ann Toback, the executive director of the Workman's Circle, the largest Yiddish training program in the world, which is teaching dogs Yiddish. Congratulations, Kyle, you got it right. We should say, by the way, that you're not teaching the dogs to speak Yiddish. You're teaching the dogs to understand Yiddish.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does a Yiddish dog play kvetch?
That's a good question. Congratulations, you were right. You've earned a point for Nagin, and you have won our prize, the voice of anyone you may choose in your voicemail. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing. Take care.
Best friend. A dog is still a man's best friend. Yeah. Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know a dog is a man's best friend.
And now the game where people who've done really well in just about everything they've tried see how long they can keep that going. It's called Not My Job. Charlie Day was just another underemployed actor when he and his two friends, Rob and Glenn, made a homemade video about three guys named Charlie, Rob, and Glenn who stumble around life being generally terrible to each other. That video got picked up and made into a sitcom, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is now the longest-running live-action sitcom on the air. Its 14th season began this week. Charlie Day, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. What an intro.
It's great to have you. Where are we finding you?
You're finding me huddled in the corner of my house, hiding from my dog and my child, and trying to find the quietest place I could be.
Well, I appreciate that. Are your dog and your child looking for you?
They usually are, yes.
All right, okay. Well, we'll do this quickly so that we can get you out of here before they do capture you.
Oh, no, take your time.
All right. For people who haven't seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and there aren't a lot of them left, it's been so successful for so long, can you describe the show?
No, sir, I cannot. it's pretty indescribable. I guess it's a show about watching terrible people do and say terrible things.
Yeah, that's about it.
And that's it.
I mean, if you thought Seinfeld was about a group of people who were generally kind of unpleasant, it's like cranking that up to 12. Was that how you conceived of it? Did you guys say to yourself, let's just play characters who are the most awful people we can think of?
That pretty much sums it up, I think, yeah. I think we thought that would be the funniest thing. We find terrible behavior amusing.
Yes. Is it my understanding is you just shot this thing with your friends in L.A. one day because you were bored and you came up with it.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I mean, we were looking to entertain ourselves, but the one thing you got wrong is the other two guys did change their names, and I just kept my name the same. I was smart because now I walk down the street and people don't yell Kramer at me.
I see. Have you ever, because you also write the show and produce the show and you improvise the show with your friends, have you ever come up with something like that's so awful you can't actually bring yourself to do it on camera, even as pretend?
I certainly wouldn't say it in front of a large audience of people.
I understand. But there have been like meetings where somebody said, hey, how about if the gang does this? And then you all looked at each other in horror, that sort of thing?
No, not so much, because usually we get excited and we say, okay, great, now how do we make that funny?
Can you, this is a terrible thing to ask any performer or artist, but I'm going to do it anyway. Can you explain the show's success? Because it's hilarious how awful these people are. And the conventional wisdom in television is you want people that people can enjoy, can admire, can like.
Yeah, have you ever been driving on the side of the road and slowed down to look at a car accident?
Yeah.
I think there's something to that, which is you just say, I can't believe I'm seeing this, I can't believe I'm hearing this, but I have to stop and look.
I understand. I wanted to ask you about something. There is a meme of you, as they say, on the internet that I'm sure everybody has seen. It is you standing in front of what I guess we might call now a conspiracist blackboard.
That's right.
Yeah. And so that I assume came from an episode of It's Always Sunny, right?
That is the Pepe Sylvia meme. And that's from an episode in which I've taken a job in a mailroom and I'm going crazy and I'm getting letters for the guy named Pepe Sylvia, and I think it's a big conspiracy, and I try to crack the code. Some fans very astutely have put together that because my character can't read, Pepe Sylvia might be Pennsylvania on the mail. But actually, I think for us it was just a funny name for a guy to go crazy about, but I like their theory better.
And so it has gotten to the point where, and anytime, especially on Twitter, if somebody is making fun of somebody, they will put that gif of you, like, to indicate crazy conspiracy theorist.
Huh. I'm very proud of it.
Are you really?
I like it immensely.
Yeah, I have a conspiracy theory that he's behind it.
Yeah, it may well be. Oh, I wanted to ask you one last thing about the show, and this is something I love. I was watching an episode just the other night in which your character, Charlie, has this mad crush on this waitress who wants nothing to do with Charlie, treats him with contempt and disgust while has a crush on one of her friends. And I found out that is, in fact, your wife.
That's correct.
Right. and you met doing an even weirder role together, right?
Well, no. We did play Incestuous Twins once on an episode of Reno 911.
I'm sorry, wait a minute. I just said you met doing an even weirder role.
Yeah,
and
but
your
we
response
did not
was.
Meet, that's not where we met, but that was our idea.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
Together
all right.
With that idea.
I thought you were saying that wasn't a very unusual relationship.
It's yes. Not in certain parts of the country, but yeah, that would be weird.
Does your wife enjoy getting regularly to play someone who hates you?
Yes, very much, and she's very good at it. And sometimes she takes her work home. She's really, really a pro.
Are you sometimes on set doing that bit, and you're like, she's getting a little too into this?
It's a blurred line, yeah, but like, she's a method actor. That's the problem.
Yeah, I understand. Would you recommend for other people who are in marriages and want to keep them healthy just to regularly like play act, like one of them just loathes the other and treats them with contempt?
I think a lot of people get a lot of practice at that all the time.
Yeah, that's true. You're not that unusual. You just get paid for it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Charlie Day, it is a pleasure to talk to you, but we have invited you here to play a game we're calling.
It's all connected, don't you see?
So, as we were discussing, you are famous for that meme indicating a crazed conspiracy theorist.
Mm.
And now it's often used to make fun of conspiracy theories, so we're going to ask you about some more obscure conspiracy theories that we were able to dig up. Answer 2 out of 3 questions, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of their choice on their answering machine. Bill, who is Charlie Day playing for?
Tom Jaworski of Archer, Florida.
All right.
All right, Tommy, here we go.
Here we go. Here's your first question. You probably remember the ice bucket challenge, the thing where a couple of years ago where people were dumping buckets of ice water in their heads to raise money for ALS research. Conspiracy theorists say it wasn't really for charity, though. What was it? A secret campaign by the bucket lobby to sell more buckets. B, a ploy by the Catholic Church to quell sexual desire all over the world. Or C, a satanic ritual meant to purify people before human sacrifice.
Well, I went to Catholic school growing up, so there's a lot of people suspicious about the Catholic Church. I think we're all finding out why.
You're going to go for B. They believe it's a ploy by the Catholic Church to limit sexual desire by tricking people into putting ice water.
Kill us out.
Yeah. No, it was the satanic ritual, but I think if the Catholic Church is listening, they might want to go this way because nothing else is working. All right, still two more chances here, Charlie, not a problem.
Okay, that's fine.
You've heard of the Illuminati, that's the shadowy cabal controlling world events.
Yeah, I'm in it.
Oh, we told you this at the last meeting, you're not supposed to say.
Well, it's a conspiracy.
It is a conspiracy. Anyway, the Illuminati, shadowy cabal controlling world events. But you may not have heard that what is part of the Illuminati's evil schemes? A, the TV sitcom Saved by the Bell. B, the public radio show Thistle and Shamrock. Or C, Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Oh, I mean, I love the idea that somehow Mike's Hard Lemonade is all wrapped up in this. I got to go with that one. That's too fun.
How exactly would Mike's Hard Lemonade...
I don't know, but I want it to be.
You want it to be. So even though I'm broadly hinting that it isn't, you're going to choose it anyway?
Okay. All right.
All right.
Perhaps I've just been saved by the bell?
Yes, it was Saved by the Bell. I don't know if you enjoyed that 90s sitcom, but apparently it was projecting Illuminati propaganda to the world. The lead character graduates, goes to Yale, center of the Illuminati. That's how you know. All right, your last question. If you get this right, you win. There are lots of conspiracies about things that we think are real, but the conspiracy is they don't really exist. We've been fooled. Which of these things are believed by a conspiracy theorist to be entirely fake? A, J.K. Rowling, author of Harry Potter. B, the country of Finland. Or C, the moon.
Hmm. Oh, well, a lot of people are probably not trusting that moon up there. It's suspicious, right? Why is it thin sometimes and why is it fully round?
Yes.
Let's go with the moon.
Well, you're right, but the real answer is all of them. They're all believed to be fake by conspiracy theorists. Just so you know, J.K. Rowling is a front, a pseudonym for a group of writers. No one person could do all that. Finland was invented by Russia and Japan for reasons of their own, and the moon is a hologram. Now you know.
Yeah. I never trusted Finland.
I know, really. Bill, how did Charlie Day do in our quiz?
2 out of 3 we're going to give him. So you did win.
Congratulations, Charlie.
Thank you.
Charlie Day stars in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The new season has just launched on FXX. Charlie Day, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
In just a minute, we catch some Z's in our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Best Fiends, a casual mobile puzzle game with tons of cute characters to collect. There are thousands of fun puzzles, and the game updates monthly, so there are always new levels and challenges to master. Play anywhere and anytime with no internet required, perfect for traveling and those long subway commutes. Collect different characters and use them strategically for each different level. Download this 5-star rated puzzle game free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's free. Friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Fall movies are about to heat up, and Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR has you covered. We'll tell you whether some of the big films on the way are as good as you're hoping they are, and we'll help build a list of gems you can uncover for yourself. Start your Oscars prep early with Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Listen and subscribe now.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Adam Burke, Nagin Farsad, and Roy Blunt Jr. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill makes his souffle in a ramekin in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, though, some more questions for you from the week's news. Adam, this week, Pope Francis issued a call to all Catholics to try to avoid using what?
Jewels.
I do not vape.
The Lord's name in vain unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
Unless you really hurt your toe. Yeah.
No, I'll give you a hint. Nouns and verbs are all okay.
This isn't helping at all. I've always thought nouns and verbs are okay.
No.
I've been using all sorts of words with abandon. I'm going to hell.
Well, there's a kind of word that the Pope doesn't want you to use.
Oh man. Is it adjective?
It is adjective. The Pope has come out against adjectives. So anyway, yes, move over, homosexuals. There's a new ban in town. Speaking to the Vatican's communications staff, Pope Francis says his main issue with adjectives is that he just doesn't love phrases like authentic Christian, because all Christians are authentic. We don't need to qualify it or raise others above others. Ugh. But really, you know, he's just mad that nobody ever says dead sexy Christian. But it does seem kind of foolish from his perspective. Where would the Bible be without adjectives? You'd have the story of the Samaritan. And somebody would walk into the manger in Bethlehem and say, "Baby Jesus, there are 3 men who want to see you." Kind of creepy that way, isn't it?
Yeah, the Holy Trinity that is then just the Trinity.
Yeah, exactly.
Which sounds like a really crappy emo band.
Yeah.
I just think, these are times when I'm like, God, guys, as a Muslim, Islam is so much more reasonable. I can't eat bacon, great, but I can call it delicious bacon.
Yeah, that's true.
How do you know?
Well, it'll be great. Nagin, great news for sufferers of an ailment that has been ignored by the medical community for too long. What was officially recognized legally as an illness this week?
Oh, dry elbow.
Is that something that you suffer from?
I suffer. Guys, who's with me? Dry elbow, guys. Come on. This is America. You can speak out loud.
It sounds like a non-alcoholic cocktail.
Dry elbow?
A town in Wyoming.
Dry elbow?
No, it's not dry elbow.
Oh, okay.
It's the new disease. Actually, it's something that has been now finally classified as a real disease. So it's something that people suffer from, but now it's a real disease.
Oh, like
is it hypochondria?
No.
That would be great.
That'd be awesome. No, but you can finally, maybe you'll be able to get prescription hair of the dog.
Oh, hangovers.
Yes, hangovers. Good news for you functioning alcoholics. According to a court in Germany, they have ruled that hangovers are officially an illness. Now, the ruling came in a case about fake hangover cures. It is illegal in Germany to sell fake cures to real diseases. So, good news, bad news, hangovers are a real illness and there is no cure.
Wait, so all this time I thought I was just getting a Bloody Mary, but I was meeting with my healthcare professional.
Exactly, yes. It'll be really exciting to see the hangover race for the cure 5K. Weird, usually all the participants throw up after the race.
What do you do for dry elbow?
What do you do?
Drink up if you're drinking. Drink up if you're drinking, boys. Tell me what you're wishing. Everybody's spreading joy.
Coming up, it's lightning. Fill in the blank. But first, it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming 1,000th show in Salt Lake City on October 24th. If that got you excited, how about our upcoming 1,001st show in Salt Lake City on October 25th? And our show in Richmond, Virginia on November 14th. If you want more Wait Wait in your week, check out the Wait Wait quiz for your smart speaker. It's just like this radio show, only now we can hear you. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Lisa calling from Grafton, Massachusetts.
I know Grafton. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm glad. What do you do there in Grafton?
I am a part-time obstetric nurse and a full-time mom of two-year-old twins.
Oh, wow, two-year-old twins. So you gave birth, 2 years ago.
Two and a half.
As an obstetric nurse, how were you as a patient?
I think I was okay. I think I did all right.
You think you did okay? You didn't kibitz?
Not too much, even though I'm Jewish.
Yes, I know. Well, Lisa, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. You ready to play?
I am.
All right, let's hear your first limerick.
I am laying my head in my lap, 'cause that special room might be a trap. Admitting I'm tired might just get me fired. Our office has beds for a...
nap.
Yes, right. The offices of Mitsubishi in Japan now have 6 rooms dedicated for employee naps, complete with recliners, mood lighting, and an online sleep scheduling portal. Because nothing's more relaxing than knowing you have to fall asleep from exactly 3:07 to 3:23 in the afternoon. The nap rooms will also have, quote, pamphlets on efficient napping, with tips like read something boring to help you sleep, like this pamphlet. The nap pods are great for beating off midday fatigue. Oh. What? And nothing builds office camaraderie like everyone drooling on the same bed.
I love how offices went from like, hey guys, we have ping pong and wiffle ball, to like, now we've got nap beds. You know, like the
well, people are always sleeping on the foosball table, so they just admitted what was that really.
I miss the days when you slept, you know, in meetings.
Yeah.
That's where you're supposed to sleep.
Here is your next limerick.
Bill Gates now reflects with a pang. No salad days for our tech gang. This space age orange drink keeps me fed while I think. We'd go through whole bottles of...
Tang.
Tang, yes, very good. A new documentary on Bill Gates reveals that in the early days of Microsoft, he would often skip meals and instead subsist on powdered Tang. That's, you know, the old orange-flavored drink.
Oh, yeah.
Back in those days, Tang was the fastest food option because dial-up was so slow it took forever to order seamless. Gates, this is the kind of guy he was, wouldn't even mix the Tang with water.
What?
Whoa. He would just put the dry powder in the back of his hand and then lick it off between keystrokes because, quote, your body already has water in it. Gates licked Tang to get a sugar rush while coding. This finally explains why you turn off Windows by pressing the start button. All right, Lisa, here is your last limerick.
To remove excess fat from my thigh, I'll make sure that my eyes don't stay dry. A deep, snotty sob will be doing the job. I lose weight when I have a good...
cry.
Yes, indeed. Scientists claim now that tears, genuine tears, can trigger weight loss. But here's the trick. They have to be actual emotional tears. So... get on the despair master and work those triceps. Apparently, the hormones that the body releases during a really, really good cry apparently detoxify the body and increase your rate of burning fat, which finally explains why Richard Simmons always had that weird warm-up. Now cry, now sob, remember your ex is getting married. Yes, feel that burn.
This is so exciting. This gives me more reason to keep watching This Is Us.
Yeah.
Also, if this was true, wouldn't we all currently be incredibly svelte?
That's true. Bill, how did Lisa do on our quiz?
It was a perfect call. Lisa, good job.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing, Lisa. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I can't stop crying.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from MailChimp. So you want to grow your business? Now what? MailChimp's all-in-one marketing platform, that's what. It has all the marketing stuff you need all in one place so you can save time and money. And it's powered by a marketing CRM so you can collect, organize, and understand your audience data. All to help you market smarter and grow faster. Learn more at MailChimp.com. Support also comes from Westin Hotels and Resorts. At Westin, their entire reason for being is your well-being, which is why their wellness offerings are curated with one thing in mind, and that's you. An Eat Well menu crafted with fresh ingredients, an on-demand fitness gear lending program that allows you to pack light and stay fit, and their heavenly bed that helps you conquer the day by giving you a restful night. Explore at Westin.com, a member of Marriott Bonvoy.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Roy has 2, Nagin and Adam each have 3.
Well, Roy, you are clearly second place, so you're going to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill-in-the-blank. President Trump railed against China and the World Trade Organization during his speech at the blank on Tuesday.
UN.
Right. For the second time, the Senate voted against the White House's request for emergency funds to build the blank.
The wall.
Right. On Wednesday, Israel's president asked Prime Minister blank to try to form a new government.
Netanyahu.
Right. Under mounting pressure, the CEO of office-sharing startup blank stepped down this week.
Oh, WeWork.
That's the one. The creators of the world's tallest humanoid robot were disappointed to discover blank.
It was still kind of short.
No. They discovered that it was too tall to get out of the warehouse they built it in. On Thursday, it was announced that Jennifer Lopez and Shakira would co-headline the blank halftime show.
Super Bowl?
Right. On Thursday, Impossible Burger rival Beyond Meat announced a partnership with fast food giant blank.
Oh God. One of those, not McDonald's, but what? Big Boy?
No, it was... It was McDonald's, actually.
Oh, it was McDonald's.
Yes. A couple in Indiana who adopted a young girl were shocked, they say, to discover that she was what?
A young boy.
No, that she was actually 22 years old.
Ah.
When the Barnetts adopted their 9-year-old daughter, Natalia, she was a wonderful child, so full of life, and always wanting to talk about her latest finger painting or her Roth IRA. Apparently, instead of being an adorable kid, Natalia, they say, was an adult con artist. And if you're wondering, hey, isn't this the plot from that movie, The Orphan? Yes, it is. That's how scary this is. There's already a horror movie about it.
Mm.
Bill, how did Roy do on our quiz?
Roy got 5 right, 10 more points, total of 12
in
the lead.
All right, we have flipped the coin, and Adam has elected to go last. That means, Nagin, you're up next. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, Britain's Supreme Court ruled that Boris Johnson's suspension of blank was unlawful.
Parliament.
Right. A new poll released on Wednesday shows blank now leading the pack of Democratic presidential hopefuls.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yes, Amazon announced it would be selling voice-activated earbuds, cameras, glasses, and rings equipped with voice assistant blank.
Alexa?
Yes, on Thursday, GM announced it would continue to provide blank coverage for striking workers.
Health.
Right. This week, the creator of blank called it his greatest regret.
Star Wars.
No. Although that might come, but this week it was the creator of The Labradoodle. Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum will reprise their roles in yet another sequel to dinosaur movie blank.
Jurassic Park.
Yes, Game of Thrones, Fleabag, and Chernobyl were the big winners at the 2019 Blank Awards.
Emmys.
Yes, this week a Russian Navy boat on a mission in the Arctic Ocean was sunk by blank.
A whale.
No, an angry walrus. The boat was en route to shore when it crossed paths with this mama walrus who was trying to protect her cubs. The 2,000-pound mammal used her tusks to sink the small ship, forcing the crew to evacuate. So the mama walrus has now done more to push back on Russian aggression than the United States. Bill, how did Nagin do in our quiz?
Pretty good. 6 right, 12 more points, 15 total, and she's in the lead.
All right. How many, then, does Adam need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win.
Here we go, Adam. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. According to a new poll released on Thursday, 49% of Americans approve of blanking Donald Trump.
Impeaching.
Yes. According to a new UN report, some of the global impact from melting blanks is now irreversible.
Ice caps.
Yes. This week, executives from automaker blank were accused of market manipulation in Germany.
Volkswagen?
Yes. On Thursday, the Senate confirmed Eugene Scalia as Trump's new blank.
National Security Advisor?
No, Labor Secretary. To prepare for a volunteer beach cleanup day, the mayor of a South Korean town blanked.
Got real naked.
No, he dumped a bunch of trash on the beach beforehand so volunteers would feel useful. On Wednesday, a new study showed that the cost of family blank plans had reached a record high.
Healthcare.
Right. On Thursday, Jacques Chirac, the former president of blank, passed away at 86.
Oh, France?
Yes.
Oh.
After turning himself in to local police, a man in Texas was told blank.
The jail was full.
No, they told him that he wasn't wanted for anything and they didn't know why he was there. Billy Bob Hall, that of course would be his name, thought he was wanted for parole violations. He says he drank 7 beers to build up the courage to bring himself to the police station, but when he arrived, the officer on duty said he wasn't wanted for anything. They did notice that he did smell like a guy who had just drunk 7 beers, and they arrested him on the spot for public intoxication. Sure, he's going to have a little jail time, but it's always nice to actually be wanted. Bill, did Adam do well enough to win?
Well, he got 5 right, 10 more points, total of 13, which means Nagin!
Nagin!
Is the champion this week.
Oh, eat it!
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict, now that kids can't juul anymore, what will be their next fun, illicit activity. Thanks once again to Stock and Ledger Restaurant in Chicago for feeding us. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our public address announcer is Paul Friedman. Our house manager is Gianna Capadona. Our intern is Dariba Khan. Our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Jennifer Mills, Miles Dernboss, and Lillian King. Hey, do you guys remember Peter Gwynn? Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our business and ops manager is Colin Miller. Our production manager is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will kids do now that they can't juul anymore? Roy Blunt Jr.
Studying. Kinky.
Nagin Farsad.
Now that they can't juul, they're going to start having sex.
Ooh, and Adam Burke.
They'll be drinking booze, spelled B-U-U-Z. An electric beer bottle that's so high-tech and efficient, it doesn't even get you drunk. It just gives you cirrhosis.
Well, if any of that happens, panel, we're going to ask you about it. On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Roy Blunt Jr., Nagin Farsad, and Adam Burke. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.